All right. Sarah, you want to get this rolling?
Yeah, 7:05. We'll call the meeting to order. Chairman Simon.
Here.
Commissioner Charette.
Here.
Commissioner Chang.
Here.
Commissioner Clancy.
Here.
Commissioner McLean.
Here.
Commissioner Roberts is absent. And Commissioner Veazey.
Here.
Okay.
All right, great. Welcome, everybody. We'll just jump right into our commissioner reports and go around the room. As a reminder, this is just a way to kind of report on things that have happened over the last month. If there hasn't been anything of value to talk about, no problem. We'll just move to the next person. So,
Chairman Simon, actually, we do have Nathan Fulmer on the phone, on the line.
Oh, sorry. Okay.
He's the gentleman who was here in person. Nathan, if you would like to provide any public comment, you're welcome to at this time.
Hi. Sorry, I'm kind of on the drive home, so if my sound is a little off, but I'm with PCs for People. We're a 501c3 nonprofit organization, and what we do is we take refurbished computers and really any other technology, and we try to make them better if they're able to. Otherwise, we will send them to a place to be recycled, and we give them back if they're able to be refurbished to low-income communities or anyone in any area who qualifies for a program for a low price to free. And our program is completely free. We generally partner with schools and libraries, but we also do partnerships with anyone. And I'm really just here to, I gave Sarah my business card because I did show up in person, but I'm really just here to offer our services to anyone who may be interested, because I know that this is a sustainability meeting and we do have a zero waste policy and everything we receive is recycled. Yeah, that's really all I have for public comment. Not much push forward your agenda, but if anyone here seems thinks that they could benefit from our services, my card is with Sarah and we are open for anyone, literally anyone. Thank you.
That's awesome, Nathan. We appreciate you taking the effort to come on in and then join remotely on your way home. So, I think what would be great is just to get more info from you. If we have your card, we'll just email you and you can email us back with a bunch of info and we'll circulate that around.
Okay. Yeah, that sounds great. I missed the first half of what you said because my, speaker was kind of weird, but I heard the second half, and yeah, I would be happy to email any information you guys want. We have a lot of stuff on.
Perfect. That was the gist of it, so that would be great.
Okay, thank you so much for letting me speak. Yeah.
All right. Thanks, Nathan. Sarah, any other public comment that you're aware of?
The only thing was we had, let me pull this up real quick.
Laura Stamp,
yes, submitted some public comment over the weekend regarding leaf blowers and encouraging the commission to take action on banning them. And my understanding is that the commission has already reviewed this item and it's at this point is waiting for the Village Board of Trustees to consider it.
Yeah, we looked at this, what was it, a year ago ish. Time has been odd as of late. Susan or Beth, I don't know if you guys remember when we kind of last looked at this, but we weren't asked to do anything in depth on it. So, you know, really the response to that resident would be, you know, that they should really talk to the Board of Trustees if that's an issue they want to take up, and if they want our input on it, you know, we're happy to weigh in if they'd like us to. I think one of our conclusions was that it really wasn't like a, it's not really a sustainability thing. you know, like the difference between like electric and gas might be a sustainable thing, but like, you know, using leaf blowers is, you know, is something that is probably more suited for you know, public works and the trustees, but we're, you know, if the trustees want us to weigh in on it, we will.
But I think the letter does specifically name the gas blowers, which are louder.
Which are what?
Which are louder. And then, you know, she also named a lot of environmental reasons. And then probably everybody saw attached the thing that California has just will prohibit sales beginning in 2024.
Of gas, right? Like, so they're trying to switch to electric.
Of gas, yeah. But it goes beyond leaf blowers. It's gas, lawnmowers, generators.
Yeah, you could keep going for sure on pretty much everything. So Sarah, do we need to respond to that resident, or was it just a comment that didn't require a response?
You know, I can let her know that that the commission has looked into this already, and that you know, at this point she should reach out to the village board.
Okay, that'd be good. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Anything else public comment wise? And hey, Nathan, like, you can, this is a public meeting, so you can stick around as long as you want, or you can drop off. Totally your call.
I was just going to stick around and see. I live around here anyway, so I was just going to stick around and see what happens. But thank you.
Great. Cool. All right, great. We'll hop into commissioner reports. Susan, okay if I pick on you?
Yeah, I can go first. So let's see, I attended the September Planet Green. Let's see, they have Oak Park has a new hire. So now they have three staff members in the sustainability office. The new hire's name is Marcella Bondi-Keenan.
Susan, do you know, like, are they, what kind of skill sets are they hiring? Like, what do you know? What their team looks like?
She has a master's in urban planning, and I think one of their priorities at this point is to put together a climate action plan. And I think she's going to be. I think she has experience in that and is going to be very involved in that among other duties. Our report. And then the only other thing I'm going to say, and this is sort of a lead in to an agenda item further on, is that the person from Oak Park River Forest High School who was presenting showed a report from MC Squared, which gave some specifics on the recs and their program. And so I thought, well, why don't we do the same? And so I worked with Sarah to reach out to our representative MC Squared, and I can present those results later on, well, along with Sarah, who's going to present a part of it. Well, later on in the agenda.
Great. Susan, can I just ask you something? Yes. Is that three staff members in addition to their energy commission that they have?
Yes. So the energy.
They don't call it a sustainability commission.
They call it the Environment and Energy Commission, and Laura Dirks is the head of that. So yes, that's a separate commission. And then there's Mindy Agnew, who has been there for a while. There's Marcella Keenan, and there's one more person, but he wasn't here, so I didn't get their name. And he might be more of an intern. But yes, so they have three full-time staff members.
And do you know, do they work in conjunction with that commission, that volunteer commission?
I think the commission makes recommendations, but you know, because of the different structure, I think they do a lot on their own as well. You know, I mean, since they are two different bodies. So I guess I do know Laura, but I don't know a lot about, you know, the interactions. So yeah, I think that the Environment and Energy Commission makes recommendations, but you know, they ultimately decide.
Yeah, actually, it'd be a good idea to do it again. We actually met with their commission a few years ago, which was really helpful in like a social, you know, environment.
It would be nice to enhance communication.
Yeah, we did that at Julie Moeller's house, and it was really nice to kind of share ideas and talk and kind of have a relationship with those guys. So
yeah, actually, I guess there is one other thing I could report on, which is Oak Park has also just put out a contract for waste management, and they did ask for bids, and they only got two responses. One was Roy Strom, which is really Lakeshore, and then their current one. And in it, they asked for a fee for opt-out composting. And I think Waste Management, let's see, which one was lower? I think Roy Strom was lower, the one that they don't have right now. And I think it was about $11 per household if it was opt-out. So, you know, about half what our current program is.
Sorry, Susan, what does that mean? That if you opt out, you get $11 back? Is that what they're saying?
No.
Means what does that mean?
If it were rolled into our existing program, that it would cost $11 per household. But if it was opt out, that would be part of the fee. So no, opt out means that you don't get the fee back.
So what does the $11 mean?
That's what the waste collection is charging the village.
$11 a month per household?
Yes.
What do we pay on that? We can talk about that later.
We have opt-in, and I think it's $21 right now. That's it.
All right, thanks, Susan. Carrie?
So sorry to say, I mean, my excuses, my son is getting married in 2 weeks and I have not done anything at all outside of work and family stuff. So I'm sorry about that.
Congratulations, that's awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Beth?
I did a couple of small things, you know, coordinating with Sarah, getting out the stuff about the tree trails. Thank you so much, Sarah. And Sarah and Maggie and I are going to try to meet about communications and just, you know, the implementation and what bandwidth Sarah has. So I think Eric, you're okay with us going ahead first, right? And
yeah,
then we'll report back to you. Okay.
That's great. Thank you.
All right. Sorry, Maggie was on the call, wasn't
she? So Maggie just texted me that her computer froze and she had to restart.
Oh, okay.
She'll be back on in a minute.
Oh, there she is. Okay, yeah. So Maggie, I was just reporting about our conversation about communications and how glad I am that you're going to be partnering with me and that we're going to meet with Sarah. And I think Sarah said that 8:30 this Friday works for her. If that works for you, we can confirm.
That's
an
email. Great.
Okay.
Sorry, I disappeared there.
Great.
It was. She said some really nice things about you, Maggie, and then the computer froze.
Beth, if you could just repeat all those nice things, that would be great. Just send it to me in an email so I can read it a few times. That would be wonderful.
You can re-listen to this meeting at your leisure. Okay, great. Maggie, did you have anything?
Nope, I don't have anything to report. And then what Beth shared, and I'm going to join that interfaith community sustainability breakfast this Thursday. So I'm looking forward to joining that. And then I think Eric, you and I just spoke about the Chicago Climate Action Plan and coming up with some key areas of focus for us to look into going forward. So looking forward to talking more about that.
Yeah. We'll have to dig into that between now and the next meeting. Thank you. Jeff?
So I said last week or last month that I would kind of give a little bit of a readout of the Climate and Equitable Jobs Act that passed, I guess, right before our last meeting. So I did some of that. I think maybe there's probably more digesting to do considering it's like 900 pages. And I preface this by saying I did not read 906 pages in the last month, but I was able to find some good summaries and bits and pieces. I thought there was a few, I mean, the headlines you guys probably are familiar with in terms of the, support for the nuclear plants for another 5 years, phase out of coal, natural gas, additional incentives for solar, both community solar rooftop and then wind, just commercial wind and solar. So a lot of little things in there too. I think there wasn't, I guess the things that maybe stood out to me as maybe relevant to us or our commission and River Forest, I thought there was mention of the stretch energy code that the Capital Development Board is going to be establishing, I guess, and then will be sort of an opt-in for municipalities, the way I read it. So I don't know the whole process, and it might be something that if there's a sort of a, you know, the municipal mayor's caucus, I don't know if they do something that's kind of a little more targeted to groups like us. I'm sure there's kind of some detailed breakdowns of what to expect and when, but clearly it'll be something that I would presume would be of interest to us when it is released, and then it's up to the municipality to pursue it if the community wants.
So is that, hey Jeff, is that like building code kind of stuff?
Yeah, exactly. Like energy efficiency, new buildings, and I think retrofits.
Like a point system like we see in other states would be awesome. That's actually big. So just for some context, this commission has talked about that. It's something that's it's very, I wouldn't call it, it's a political hot potato, but like, you know, we've never kind of delved into that except just having conversation about it. But that's actually significant. Change if our village adopts, you know, like an energy code, that's a huge thing that we've talked about forever. That is just, there wasn't an appetite really at the village to tackle something that, you know, that's significant.
Yeah, and it clearly would. The nitty gritty wouldn't have to be dealt with by the, you know, the commission or our commissioner or the village board. It could be sort of adopted from what's put in place by the state. A few other, I mean, I think maybe long-term, there's this beneficial electrification plan that the utilities, both ComEd and Ameren, are can be a part of and basically get reimbursed for further electrification. I think it's not something that would be implemented necessarily at the village level, but I think depending on how that gets rolled out, and some of that might be established in the 906 pages, some of it I think is probably TBD by the utilities, but probably something to keep an eye on. And at the very least, I would think we could be supportive of efforts of kind of switching from natural gas to electrification in general as the grid gets cleaner. So I don't know exactly what that would look like and how ComEd will approach it, but maybe something to keep an eye on in the coming months and years.
On that point, was there any raising of the minimal renewable energy components for ComEd and Ameren? Did you run across anything like that? Because I think right now they're at like 4 or 5%. I know Massachusetts has a minimum of 16% for their, you know, just for their standard electric company.
There is. It's so complicated, though. I'd be wary to tread in because they kind of approach it not just at like a, or maybe they do also do it at a utility level, but they kind of do an end around too and give renewable energy, like pay for renewable energy credits right to developers to be in the state and be on PJM or MISO and kind of do it that way. So I don't know if it's directly sort of procured by ComEd and how that would work, but I know in general that it seems like sort of a shotgun approach of a bunch of different ways they approach it.
Hence the length of the documents.
And
my understanding is there's still a lot of people trying to sort through that document and a lot of lawmakers and stuff like that just try to determine what actually happened.
Yeah, and it seems like there's quite a few sort of great ideas, good intentions that get kicked to the Capital Development Board to establish the code subsequent. So
yeah, look, I think the IPA needs to basically interpret all of the energy incentive stuff. And that's gonna take them months.
Yeah. Those are kind of the big ones. There's some stuff. There's going to be like rebates directly available for, you know, EV charging station that communities can take advantage of. There's going to be electrification of public fleets that could be taken advantage of. I think those are another thing that's kind of to be rolled out, some by, I think probably most by the utilities themselves, but I don't know that there's like an action now, but kind of we'll want to be in the loop when these kind of programs are rolled out. And then there's also some language, and this is where I kind of read some of the bill and I think could also use some additional interpretation, but there is a chance for communities and towns to create their own energy and climate plans and get support for them. This is sort of in the section more about sort of transitioning to clean jobs and creation and training. But there's also mention of, you know, making more walkable communities and how much money is sort of available to the communities that have a plan. Not entirely sure. I think it's probably another thing to bookmark and see if maybe long-term when this program's implemented might be an opportunity to pursue kind of creating a plan that's eligible under the law and regulations to be potentially see some funds available for the programs. And that was sort of the key things. I mean, there's a ton else in there. That's sort of what I, in my read, thought was probably kind of relevant to this commission and the village, and things might be able to take advantage to kind of further the mission.
Thank you so much for digging into that.
Yeah, thank you.
That's great. You know, one thing I just want to pile on with is there's supposedly money for storage as well. Which is kind of a big deal. I mean, storage already did fall under the old, the old system there, or the old bill from 2016. But apparently there's like a whole program for storage. I don't know, you know,
storage.
Like battery storage, right? So, so like okay. Solar, right? Having solar is
one thing. I see. But,
you know, well, what do you do at night? It'll be interesting to see how that plays out, because I know. Me and a lot of my friends that have solar on our roofs would like to do storage, but you know, the incentives weren't there and it's very expensive. There's lots of businesses that have large rooftop arrays that would like to do storage as well. So that could be a game changer. And storage gets very interesting, because what happens is it's set up in a way, and Jeff and anyone else that's more of an expert in this than me, which is not hard to do. What happens in storage in a lot of states is that the utility actually draws on your storage to basically even out the grid. So in other words, like when the grid is stressed, or you know on the hot day when everyone's air conditioners are on, they would actually pull from private people's storage, businesses, whatever, in order to bring that into the grid and level out, you know, and basically kind of help their load balancing. And they pay you for that, which is one of kind of the economic incentives to put storage in. I don't know if Jeff or Maggie, you know, if you guys have run across this at all, but I know supposedly in this bill, there's a mechanism for the utilities to do that.
So right now, does the energy that you generate just goes into ComEd system and you get a credit?
Well, yeah, you consume a lot of it, or most of it. Anything that's extra, you reverse meter back into the grid. But the pay you get on that is fractions of pennies on the kilowatt hour. It's you know, it's not particularly helpful, but it goes back into the grid, so at least it's not wasted.
The company I'm working for is looking at doing that large scale with electric school buses and other large fleets, to be able to create basically mini generators to help, especially like during natural disasters, or you know, when there's big storms or whatever, to support communities with their energy resources. So I can certainly share more information on that. I don't know as much about it at sort of the individual or consumer level, like doing more work at more of the school district and municipality level, but I can certainly share more information on that as I learn more about it. I'm in week two of my job, so.
That would be great. Yeah, when you learn, definitely, if it's relevant to us, we'd love to hear about it.
Yep, absolutely.
Yeah, and on that point too, I think a lot of this stuff that's going to be implemented through the utilities, I could see it. There's so much in here, it's going to be so complicated and rolls out. Obviously, like ComEd's going to sort of, it's in their purview to make these programs successful, but I imagine there could be a educational role that we could play in terms of sort of the types of problems that the typical home around here would run into, or programs they could take advantage of that might not otherwise be aware of.
Yeah, really, if we do our job right, nobody should buy a gas generator once these programs are in place. They should all buy battery. All right, cool. All great stuff. Thanks so much, Jeff. All right, who haven't I called on? I'm gonna hit Ellie. Do you got anything to add?
I haven't been that active for the last month, just because October school's really speeding up. But I'm planning on, as soon as I get the results back from Corey Cadlick, I'm going to start working on that video that I talked about last month. I expected to get them back by now. Send them yet. And as soon as he does, then I'm going to start working on the video and I'll send it to you guys. And I know that Beth got me in contact with, I'm going to look back, or a woman who works with the gardens in the elementary schools. And I still need to get back to her as well.
Yeah, that's Alexis Murphy. Yeah, because you had mentioned wanting to do something with the elementary school kids. So, but this things from Corey Cadlick, do you mean tree trails or something else?
Yeah, the activity sheets.
Okay, so when you get those from him, then you'll get them turned in or whatever so we can enter them in for the prize, right? Okay. Yeah. I don't know if you'll send them to Sarah or what, but we can work that out offline.
Right. And that's it. Good month.
Thanks, Ellie. Charlotte?
Nothing much to report on my end, sorry. I've mainly just been preparing for the UN Climate Summit. And then after that, I'll have more time to do more stuff for this commission.
Do you realize how badass that sounds? I'm just preparing for the UN Climate Summit.
Yes. Can you tell us a little more about what you expect to do or what you're preparing?
So we're hoping that we'll be able to get clearance into the blue zone, which is like where the delegates will be, which is not like open to the public. And then if we get clearance into there, then we're gonna be spending time like interviewing delegates, and we're going to be trying to like report on things that are happening. I know that we're going to, each of us is going to do like a daily dispatch and like with like news on like what's going on and like send it back to like, people over in River Forest and Oak Park. So we're just trying to get the word out about what's happening in Glasgow.
Very cool.
Yeah, I mean, that's just so awesome. If there's anything we can help with at all, Charlotte, if you need materials about kind of what you're doing in your local, like what we're doing in your local community or anything like that, just let us know. We can load you up.
All right, thank you so much.
All right, great. Asura, anything on your end?
No, we're still working on getting the electric vehicle charging station going with our contractor. And I do still need to confirm with Mark Pruitt, I haven't heard back from him, about just making sure that they've got everything that they need for the community or to start getting those mailers ready.
Okay, great, thank you. Did I miss anybody? What I did miss was approval of the minutes. So we're gonna jump back to that. Is there any changes or feedback on the minutes from last meeting?
Only to say that they're great, Sarah.
Thank you.
Very concise and helpful.
Okay, should we motion to approve the minutes? Somebody want to make that motion?
Sure, move to approve.
Second.
Okay, perfect, Sarah.
I'm sorry, was that Maggie who seconded?
Yeah, sorry, that was me, Maggie.
Okay. Chairperson Simon.
Yes.
Commissioner Charette.
Sorry, yes.
Commissioner Chang.
Yes.
Commissioner Clancy.
Yes.
Commissioner McLean.
Yes.
Commissioner Roberts is absent. And Commissioner Veazey.
Yes.
Okay, motion passes.
All right, excellent. Now back to the agenda. So update on green electric aggregation program.
Okay. Do you want me to start, Sarah?
Sure.
Okay. So as I said in my previous comments, I saw something like this for OPRF, which gave me the idea that this is something MC Squared would do. Sarah, is there any way that you could share your screen? So Sarah included I can do a little intro first and then if you want to share that. But so they gave us some statistics on participation in the program. And I thought this might help us as we go forward with community solar as well. So in their initial mailing for opt out, there was 1,878, 6%. That's how many enrolled, 6% opted out. And then they had a second mailing in May because there were, this is just like new moves. And this one was at 355 people and 8% opted out. So currently there's 1,749 people in the program. So this has resulted in a civic contribution which was a little bit higher than what they estimated. I think they told us 25,000 and it's actually been 33,000. And Sarah anticipates it'll be 72,000 for the 2-year program. And then, the other component of that is renewable energy credits, and that's what Sarah is showing. So I just want to back up a little bit because not everybody was here when we looked in and approved this program. So basically what this program is doing is it's coming in an aggregate way. They looked at, you know, kind of the most cost-effective electric bills for the households. And aggregated that, and then the green component of that is the renewable energy credits that we're looking at, and then there's also what's called a civic contribution, which is a monetary contribution to the village. So this is one part of it. And we've brought up in several previous meetings, like not knowing exactly where these renewable energy credits are, so now we can see pretty clearly here. There were 3 in Minnesota, 1 in North Dakota, 1 in South Dakota, 1 in Iowa, and 1 in Oklahoma. And the number down here is, did I write this down? Yeah, 33,438,000 kilowatt hours. And we had estimated, I'm sorry, ours was M, which I don't know what the M stands for, 26,000. So the RECs ended up being more, and that's probably a result of a slightly lower opt-out percentage than what they anticipated. And so then they have some equivalencies here is about, you know, saving 26 million pounds of coal through these RECs. And so I thought this would be helpful. And I clarify, so I guess what the way they determine these RECs was they make an estimate based on the consumption of the households in the program the previous year. So this is 1 year, and then they'll do that again, and they'll buy RECs for the second year in the program. And given that we have a slightly lower number, we have 100 fewer households in it, it might be slightly less than this, but this is a good number to work off of. Does anybody have any questions on this?
Well, I have a comment and a question first. This is absolutely fantastic. So thank you for to you and to Sarah for following up and getting it. And we will have to figure out a way to package some of this information to communicate because it's a great story, right? My question is, can we ask them to convert those, I don't know, the kilowatt hours or something into metric tons of carbon dioxide or offset, because we want Shannon to be able to accurately put it into the greenhouse gas inventory. And I believe we had an estimate that we originally used. So could we somehow follow up with them and ask for that conversion?
Could I forward to you the person's, because since I know nothing about this, I wouldn't be very good with follow-up questions. So could I just give you the name and you could, you know, reach out
sure.
and say that you got this and just ask for that conversion, because I wouldn't really be able to interpret what she said. So yeah, I'll pass that along to you. She was pretty helpful.
Yeah, I mean, they obviously must have the number because they have in turn turned it into things that they think are more understandable to the, relatable to the average person, but it's obviously based on some sort of metric ton number. So shouldn't be too hard for them to pull.
For sure, all those things on the bottom were based on metric tons. You know, they just put it into the calculator.
Uh-huh.
Like we did, you know, like we did once with the.
You know, as I said, I think this will be helpful going forward, help us with our story. And, you know, now we can say with more assurance when we're trying to get people to sign up for community solar that one of the benefits is that it would go directly into the Illinois grid as opposed to, you know, Minnesota and these other states, which, you know, they're in the Midwest, but they're a little bit of a distance for us. So, you know, in terms of the air we breathe, it would be more directly benefiting us.
Yeah, these are roughly in the Midwest. Oklahoma's technically in the Midwest, but it's nowhere near us.
Yeah, and you know, even Minnesota. So
This is awesome. This is such good info.
Sarah, did you have anything to add?
I'm just going to stop my screen share here. Susan asked me to just go over the civic contribution funds with everyone. So revenue from the program began in November of 2020. So I believe we started it in September, but the revenue started coming in November. So last fiscal year, and this is a little confusing because the program, you know, it's a 2-year contract, but it sort of straddles fiscal years, and our fiscal year is not a calendar year. So it's sort of extra confusing, but the fiscal year is May 1 to April 30th. So last fiscal year, the village received 18,000. So that's from November until the end of April. To date, the village has received about 33,000, although it might be more like 36, because we're getting about $3,000 a month. Just 36 with September, I don't know that. So because the funds weren't budgeted to specific projects, there's no restrictions by the law or in legislation or by the village policy to start the program. So it gets pooled with all the other unrestricted revenue that the village receives. So essentially, I guess what that means is it's not necessarily allocated to sustainability commission projects. However, that doesn't mean that you can't go to the board if you have, you know, specific projects that you are interested in. So a good example is the electric vehicle charging station. Which was approved at their meeting on the September 27th. So we are moving forward with that. So throughout the 2-year term of the contract, we're expecting to receive $72,000, which is amazing.
Yeah. And I think that's another thing that we should publicize as well, you know, because when people complain about every little expense, this is $72,000 that came in. But I think also, you know, and we did dedicate an entire meeting to this. I think we also could be making more suggestions to the village in light of knowing these numbers. I mean, as Sarah said, they can either approve or not. But now that we have an idea, you know, maybe we should be thinking of some big projects and, you know, specifically focusing on energy. So one thing that we talked about is that I think the pump house is the only electricity that the village is using, which is not being reimbursed off of a tax on our utility bills. People like to call that free.
Susan, your nuance is noted.
No, I it is not free, and so I don't think it should be treated as
free. The okay. Residents pay for it.
Yeah, but you know, maybe that's something that we could make a suggestion about, and So
just as to piggyback off that, at the meeting last night, the board did approve both the street lighting and the pumping station contracts, and they're going to be from renewable sources. From the green energy.
Okay, so are they doing that through a third party, or is that through?
Yes, so it's, I can pull it up real quick here.
I mean, that's great news because the pump house is, I think, the largest user of power as far as the municipality goes.
Let's see. So it's my understanding, which is very baseline, so please bear with me, is that, it's sort of, it's the suppliers are not ComEd. So it's ComEd is
the distributor.
Right.
Yeah, we'll deliver it.
We have the franchise agreement with ComEd. So you're right, it's not free. It is taxpayer, it's not coming out of ComEd's coffers. So the taxpayers are paying for it, but the village isn't specifically charged for these accounts. Right. But let's see who the suppliers are. It's Dynegy Energy Services and AEP. And so we did get the renewable electricity supply.
Okay, so those are like AEP, I think, is a broker. Right, so they must have went to market got a green, a green package.
Does that mean, is it similar to I'm just trying to see what category that, is it similar to the RECs, or is it like coming off of a solar farm, or?
No, this would be straight up credits, renewable energy credits.
Okay.
I mean, I don't know, Susan, but it's gotta be. Well, we can get some more detail on it.
Yeah, we should, I think we should.
Yeah, I mean, that's great, right? And that's great that's gonna come from a greener source.
Can I ask something about the money that we're getting from the aggregate program? That isn't necessarily going to remain if we start all those other programs, right? You don't know what that might be, depending on what the villagers do. Am I understanding that correctly?
Well, it's a two-year contract, so
we have another year left.
We have a year left, and so then we could renew the contract, but they might not give us the same terms. So,
but I think what Carrie's saying, which the answer I think is yes, is that if we convert a lot of people to a community solar, then yes, then our payment is going to be lower.
Right. So the village will get less money, but then people will save on their own bills.
Right.
Yeah. It's almost like Susan has said this before. It's almost like just a transfer of.
Yeah.
Of the savings from the village to, to the residents in a way.
Well, I mean, I just feel like reading some of those comments just from the waste disposal comments that were there from that survey. I mean, saying, well, the village got $76,000 or however much from everybody doing this may, not be met with as positive tones as what you might be thinking. Because some of those comments were, if we compost, our cost should go down for garbage. And I think people may see the same way here. I don't know, but I'm just.
No, I think you're right. Sorry.
I think one way to address those comments is to take this money and invest it. So instead of, just leaving it in the general mm-hmm. funds, which I think is, you know, again, it almost feels like a different type of a tax, almost mm-hmm. a different source of revenue. To say like, okay, well, we're putting this into an EV station that now, you know, you or your guests could use, and other things that would, you know, reduce energy and reduce costs going forward in the future.
Mm-hmm. I don't know. It might be even like from a, you know, a point, you know, to get people into more of a solar thing, which I know that we want people in all of these different programs, but, you know, it could be like the village is getting, you know, you could save on your own electric bills. It might be something to get into those more renewable energies than the straight up ComEd stuff. I don't know, but I don't know how to spin that correctly, you know, but to get people to really think about where their energy is coming from is sort of what we want to do with all that community solar, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, I think this is just the input, and then we all need to digest this, and then
mm-hmm.
you know, think about how are we going to put this into our story. But you know, fortunately, we have some time to act before we have to tell that story, so we can be mm-hmm. shaping the story to say, you know, we're using this money to reduce the energy costs in the village by doing X, Y, and Z. And mm-hmm. so that's why the way I presented it was. And I, you know, I don't know what the costs are involved, so I don't even know if it's how much it would
yeah.
go towards this. But you know, like actually putting solar on the pump house, you know, is south facing. It does have a tile roof, so I don't know if that complicates things. But you know, then that's going to reduce future energy costs for mm-hmm. the village. So you're taking this one time payment, and we're reducing costs going forward. So, you know, to me, that would be a really, really wise thing to do.
Right, which mm-hmm. then in turn should reduce the tax amount on the ComEd bill that residents are charged.
But I thought John said the pump house was not included in. I thought he said that was the only thing that was not included in the.
So he said it's the only thing that is not. That's correct. That's 100% of what you just said, Susan. It's not included in the free power.
The so-called free power.
And at this point, I'm just poking you. But yeah, that is exactly. The pump house was the one thing that was excluded from.
That's what
I think that's because it's.
That in the street lighting.
Oh, the street lighting. So,
okay, so both of those are.
Okay. So the village pays, they get a bill from ComEd on, well, or, you know, Dynegy in this case, for street lighting and pump house.
Well, how much of a dent would $76,000 make in putting solar on the pump house?
Well, the pump house isn't big enough to consume $76,000 worth of solar, but like, yeah, this is, so Sarah, this is like, we've had this conversation before, but we haven't gotten that very far. You might need to pull in Jeff Loester to kind of figure out what municipal buildings could accommodate solar. And we've done this exercise before, but it'd be worth revisiting. And we, you know, we always also land on the fact that the park district is by far the best buildings to put solar on. But we've never made progress with the park district on, you know, on doing that. It's you've talked before how Oak Park District has done such a great job on doing that.
They have, although they have way more buildings than we have. But another sure. good source would be the schools.
Yeah. So we looked when the commission first started. We actually brought in a solar contractor. We met with, what's the name of?
Anthony Tosi.
Mm-hmm. We met with Anthony, we had a meeting and it was wildly complicated. Like I'm making the number up, but I'm not that far. Like Roosevelt has like 62 different roofs, you know, like all of different ages, materials, like all just built, you know, over, you know, the last 100 years. And so it was just very, very complicated. It might be worth revisiting. But the results, if Beth, were you around for that?
I mean, I was around when those conversations were happening. So I remember the whole thing about the complication of the Roosevelt roof, but yeah. I wasn't directly involved in the details.
And so the result of that was full circle back to Park District. It was like, you know, and the community center, you know, like, which is Park District, right?
The River Forest Community Center is separate. Their depot is Park District building, yeah.
Okay, so depot is Park District. So it was all the buildings that really weren't under direct village control that like were better candidates for solar. And so what would be really interesting is for us to, you know, spend some commissioner resources talking to, you know, because there's probably different leadership since we've had those conversations in some cases and seeing what we could do. Because the reality is we could do what Oak Park did, which is all the solar on their Park District buildings, the Park District paid nothing for. So they did the, you know, they had a third party pay for it, and then they buy back the energy at a discount. And perhaps we could use some of our funds to, you know, somehow help defray costs, or I don't know, I'm making stuff up, but, you know.
But just as a starting point, could we request a sort of a feasibility study of, I don't know if this has already been looked into, but a feasibility study of putting solar on the pump house and what it would cost for the solar panels to just cover the amount of
sure.
the pump house. So, and if that is something that falls within these funds, and, you know, so all we're doing is making an inquiry, because, you know, we can have all the hypothetical conversations we want, but until we have actual numbers, you know, we don't know where.
Yeah, that's a great point.
And, you know, it's fine to have third parties come in, but if you do have the money up front, you know, obviously you're going to reap the benefits over the, you know, 25 years. If the third party didn't think they were going to cover their cost and then some, they wouldn't be doing this. So you're definitely giving away some profits if you do have the investment money.
No question. And I'd say with the new incentives that Jeff was talking about, it's going to even be more of an economic incentive to do it yourself versus have a third party do it. Okay, so Sarah, as an action item, can we see, maybe have a side conversation with Jeff, you know, with Public Works to see if, you know, kind of what that would take to get somebody out and, you know, and look at that. You know, that type of roofing is not impossible. They have all kinds of different racking systems that work on all kinds of different roof types.
And I think, I'm sorry, go ahead, Sarah.
No, I was going to say we can certainly have that conversation.
I think in addition to, you know, the monetary, I think it's just another way of drawing attention to solar and you know, showing that the village is, you know, they're doing what they're asking the people of Riverforce to do. So it's not just like, you guys should go out and do it. We'll just stick over here with our coal and nuclear.
And by the way, that's another argument to do Park District buildings. Like if you can't do, because schools and Park District buildings are by far the most visual.
Yeah.
Right.
But the pump house is within the control of the village. So if
it is, it wasn't a but, it was an and.
Okay. Yeah. Right? So I'm just saying, I think the pump house would be a good starting point. And then from there, and from what we learn, then yeah, of course we would be great to partner with some of the other taxing bodies. But
all right, cool. So
we'll start with what we have control over.
All right. So we'll look into that. Does any of our commissioners have relationships with any of the board members of the Park District? We can maybe like reach out to me offline if you do. And cause you know, we had engaged, it's pretty much a different board at this point. We had engaged with a previous board. I don't know if it was the last board or it was a board before that, on this. So maybe we can, you know, if we have some relationships, we can take advantage of those and start some conversations with them.
Is the head of the Park District the same person?
I think so. So does anyone know?
Mike Slatton.
Yeah, same guy.
Mm-hmm.
Eric, I know some folks on the board. I can talk to you about that offline.
All right, that's great. Thanks, Maggie.
Yeah.
All right, great. This convo started with the green electric aggregation data. So circling back to that, is there any questions about the information that Susan and Sarah shared?
And also if there's anybody who doesn't understand the program, because I know that we always whip by it and I don't always understand these things. So if there's any portion of it that's not clear, then please ask.
All right, thanks guys and great job on that. Really appreciate it.
Yeah, Eric, just one last quick thing. I totally agree with this idea of finding some way to invest that funds. And I just, you know, this will be great to explore the solar thing. If that doesn't work out, I just wanted to not forget that I think Sarah was going to try to look into, you know, or keep an eye on if AmeriCorps starts its funding up again and try to have us be aware of the deadlines for maybe, you know, participating and getting someone to help. Because to me, the issue with the funding has always been that it's not an ongoing stream. So we can't use it for something that it, you know, it has to be like a one-time investment or something, right? And I feel like bandwidth and somebody to help with carrying some of these things out could be another good way to invest it. So just a comment.
Yeah, definitely, right? And we actually have prioritized having a volunteer or an intern, you know, a paid intern in the past for these funds. But it'd have to be for a year at a time. But that's fine because those programs are only a year at a time anyway. All right, great conversation. Thanks, everyone. All right, next on the agenda, I wanted to leave enough time for this too, was waste survey. So I'll mute myself and jump into that. Sorry, I'm having trouble pulling up.
Did you want to, like, is Sarah going to do screen share or an overview, or do you just want
to? I was just trying to pull it up. Sorry. So yeah. So if we can do an overview of the waste survey results, that would be great. Sarah, do you have those handy?
Sure. Yeah, I can pull them up.
And just to, and correct me if I'm wrong, Sarah, technically the survey isn't closed yet. Or is it now?
You know, it's, so I sent the initial survey results like we had discussed on Friday. And then I sent, or I updated what's on the website yesterday. So the survey is still open. And I think we've gotten like responses since, two additional responses since I updated this. But I mean, I can close it. Or people would still respond, but
it seems like it was a pretty good response. I don't know what you thought.
Yeah, it was nearly 400 responses. That's super solid for something like this.
I thought so.
Do you want me to walk through this? Or Sarah, did you want to do it?
You know, I wrote down a few of the takeaways here. Overall, people are generally satisfied with the services. It sounds like there's some concerns with the service since Lakeshore Recycling's acquisition. Sorry, I get these pop-ups every once in a while. You know, and there's some concerns that the service isn't as reliable as it once was, or that people are calling customer service and they're not really getting any response. I don't know how prevalent that is, but that's just some of the comments that we got here. Let's see. So that's satisfaction. Yard waste services. Some people just don't use it. That could be people maybe in multifamily or people just don't, period. Quality of composting. This one was kind of interesting. It sounds like there were quite a few people who are composting themselves. So they are composting, which is sounds like one of the commission's, you know, goals is to get more people to compost, but they're just not participating in the village's program through the waste hauler. E-Works was also interesting, that response. Where is that? A lot of people don't know about E-Works. I know
I don't know about E-Works. I know about E-Works.
this is not a surprise. The
so therefore we will be, when we revamp the website, we will be putting it, you know, center on the website.
I mean, essentially nobody knows about E-Works, which is.
so we'll make sure we communicate more about that. The other, back to composting here, the other things that were kind of interesting, people were interested in multi-unit housing, so some sort of composting program for that. I just don't know that much about the service that's available through our current contract, but I guess it's not available to multi-unit.
Is it true that multifamily houses or buildings have to contract out their own waste services, or does Roy Strom take care of that too?
You know, that's a good point. I did see even just this morning waste management services in town picking up something from there's an apartment complex over on Central here. So that could actually be part of the reason.
Well, they do dumpsters, so.
Because they have dumpsters, yeah.
It's not residential service, so it doesn't fall under the Strom contract.
Uh-huh. And can I ask one other question? The composting is $21 to the village, yet we charge $30 to the residents?
No, it's $20 a month to the residents.
Mm-hmm.
It used to be 18, and then it's been sort of creeping up. And that's also a communication issue, I think, because I was barely aware of that myself.
And if it were village-wide, like Oak Park, would that cost go down? Is it a logistic kind of nightmare, and that's why the costs are higher? Do we know that?
I think that's what Susan said earlier, right, is that at the Oak Park, and of course Oak Park's different from River Forest, but the quote they got is that it would essentially be $11 a month per household if it was everybody in the program.
Just to clarify, Oak Park at this point, before they negotiate their new contract, they also haven't worked out like we do. And I think it's just, I think it's a little bit cheaper than ours, like maybe 19 or something.
They have an opt-in right now?
Opt-in.
Yeah,
okay. Mm-hmm.
They have a lot more volume, so it makes sense that their price is a little lower.
Right. I mean, I just know I compost a lot, and in the winter time, it's really hard to compost. You know, I mean, it really is. And
because of the every other week pickup, or
no? I mean, I don't have composting through the village.
Oh,
but
you're
if only. I would not only compost on my own to have my own compost here, but I know I would compost a lot more and everything all year long if I just had a bin, and if it was $11 a month, mm-hmm. You know? So, but that wasn't a question on the survey.
No, but that's really good feedback. And I think that's consistent with what we've talked about too, is right, like.
There is a question, yeah. There is a question. I think Sarah might be trying to look for it. There was a question about, I would like to compost, but.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Oh, here it
there
is.
There we go.
I can compost, but, and then, let's see. 99 people, so 25% said that they weren't interested at all. About 20% said it's too high. And then I did think it was interesting that there's a lot of people who are composting just by the program.
Yeah, so this one I thought was kind of a hard to interpret one. Mm-hmm. In retrospect, maybe there would have been a different way to phrase it, but that 25% that said they're not interested, that's a really, you know, that's a pretty big number. And I was trying to figure out, does that mean people really aren't interested in, like, what percentage of that are people who are not interested in the village program because they're composting on their own? What percentage of people are like, well, we think composting is a bad idea. And if so, is it because they just, you know, don't know a lot about that? Although I guess we had that as a question. But the other thing I just wondered if it was related to is, if you look at the demographics of the response to the survey, it was heavily people with no children in their household, which was kind of like a weird, I don't know, maybe only people without children in their household had time to do this survey. And I didn't know if it was fair to assume that that was like older people. Mm-hmm. I mean, I guess we could have some younger couples who don't have children yet. And if it is older, does that mean that it's a generational thing, you know, in terms of interest in it? So this result I found kind of problematic, I guess, mm-hmm. in terms of interpreting how it would guide our recommendation to the village about what to negotiate in the upcoming contract.
It's just not super helpful, although you could look at this as 75% of people are interested in composting, which is actually a very high number.
I kind of assumed that that was a educational component, and I was very struck too by the demographics, you know? So I thought that was really interesting. But I don't think we should give up on composting because of that. I really don't. I mean, it would be, I mean, I don't think people maybe understand how easy and how much you are able to compost.
So. Yeah, I would agree. There's a big educational component with this.
I mean, it seems at the very least we should get, you know, if we're going to go to bid, or if we are going to just reach out to Lakeshore, that we should ask for a number. You know, what would it cost to have everybody? And is there anything we can change in our existing program which would offset some of that, so the total number doesn't go up that much?
Yeah, mm-hmm. Like what is that $11 number to us?
Yeah, I mean, the reduce, reuse, recycle. Well, we know recycling isn't really going to help a lot, but reducing the amount of trash is really, I think, just almost easy pickings.
Yeah. Well, you know, and another thing, which, you know, I was talking to the head of Public Works in Oak Park, and you know, the waste hauler has a charge for when they pick up our you know, pure waste. There's a charge for that to dispose of that, and that's a significant cost. So if they divert poundage from waste to composting, that should decrease that particular cost. So yes, there's the additional cost of picking up that other bin, but I don't think composting covers the same cost, because that just goes to a facility and then it's mm-hmm. I mean, I guess there's a cost associated with that too, but I mean, I just wonder how those compare. And given that your total amount of waste doesn't go up if you divert part of it, you know, that should be an offset. So, you know, I just think we should get a price, and then we can think about it.
Sir, any other kind of takeaways from your first reading of this?
Yeah, there's just also some people who it did look like, let's see, the specialty items. There's a pretty big interest in people looking for ways to dispose of these types of things.
Yeah, that's great. So, I mean, 70% of people are interested, so that's huge.
Yeah, so that's definitely something to pursue in the contract. The other thing that struck me in the open-ended comments that we should definitely look into is this number of reports of seeing the recycling and the garbage being dumped together into the same thing. I'm never out there when they're doing it, so but that was kind of disturbing. So I would like to know what's going on with that.
Do you know? Because we've asked, and I think, are those garbage cans separated? I mean, yeah. One side is garbage and one side is recycling. I don't know. How does that work, Sarah? Do you know? Did they talk about that when they were here in July?
You know, I was not part of that conversation, but we are going to try to have a meet with George Strom, just to, you know, some of the feedback that we're getting from residents and some of these things.
That question confused the heck out of a lot of people. I got a lot of texts from friends who were asking what that was, and I couldn't even answer it. Like, I don't think there's a single stream option. Like,
wait, you know, what are you which question are you talking about, Eric?
This was about the, how was it, the bin, the...
Oh, the single tote, all toter or something?
Yeah.
Right, which I didn't exactly understand that either, and we probably should have figured it out before the survey went out. But I'm talking about the open-ended comments where people said that when it's being picked up, that they're seeing, you know, the pickup people like take the recycling bin and the garbage bin and just like dump it into the same part of the same truck.
Right. the old, that's right.
And they, so, that's what they do. They do that.
But there's different, it's divided. They're special trusts.
Yeah, they're divided somehow.
So people are perceiving that they're being put together, but they're not really. Anyway, Sarah, that would be great when you sit down with George to make sure, just so if, you know, so we know what's happening with that, can answer people's questions and obviously make sure that we don't want to be saying that we're recycling if we're not. And I know there are lots of problems with what's happening with recycling and what, where they put it and that sort of thing, but we have to be honest about that.
I'm sorry, I thought you were talking about the all toter program.
So this all toter, so I didn't know exactly what this meant either. Does that mean that everybody gets the big, I mean, I think I have a toter. It's a, like a bigger garbage bin and it's on wheels. Sarah, is that what a toter is?
You know, I admittedly am not entirely sure myself. This is
one of the what a toter is.
So does anyone on the commission know what this means?
It was on the other, you know, it was right on that Elk Grove survey, and I was like, well, I'm now I should be stupid if I say anything.
Okay, so I think that's
the toter is the actual garbage bin, I think, is what I was surmising.
Most of us now have, like, I have three large bins on wheels, right? One is for garbage, one's for recycling, one's for compost.
I think so, those are toters best.
Okay.
I Googled the crap out of this and all I could find was.
Oh, really? Well, that's embarrassing. All right, we got it.
And on a related note, Sarah, can you delete this part of the meeting from the public?
They're like age old garbage questions.
Yeah, might be a holdover question from when the survey was done before.
I think, I wonder if part of it is people just see potentially save money. They say, yes, I'm interested. So there's that.
Okay. So let's not worry about that. Well,
you can ask George where, because a question, you may have been a holdover from like a previous survey, because you said this survey had been run in the past as well.
And by the way, like as an example, my recycling in Colorado is in plastic, you know, like big milk crate things that they give you. They're not toters. So this could be very literal that would it be more easier if it was in a toter, but I don't know how that saves money. So let's not spend too much time trying to figure this one out.
But the one takeaway from this is that it seems like there is strong agreement that people should pay relative to the amount of trash they produce, which I think is totally normal. I mean, we pay the amount of water and sewer and everything else. Why do big, huge trash generators get a pass? And
well, that would be awesome, like if there was some way to negotiate the contract to say that, you know, but it's worth asking. I guess I assume it's extremely difficult to administer if you were to say, you know, well, households pay a variable amount depending how much garbage they have picked up, right? Because you don't have like a metering system like with the water, and what are they going to do, like weigh everybody's
The
way to do that is three size containers, and recycling and composting, then you could even set it up where if you got the smallest container, then that could offset the price of composting. So you're just
That would be great.
So you're back to the original fee, but now you have composting because people who compost don't need as much.
Right, but you know what? We have our own garbage bins. I don't have any garbage bin from Roy Strom or anybody. I've got my own garbage cans out there that they just take.
Yeah. Well, but under this program, you'd have to use, you know, if there were three sizes, you'd have to use them. And
I absolutely agree with it. And then I'll say this again, even though it's always met with a thud, I think we should go with we only pick up garbage every 2 weeks. And composting every 2 weeks. I just think that and then people would be forced almost to compost. But I know that's.
Well, I think I agree on the trash, but I think the composting gets stinky if you.
But it's right now it's every other week.
Not yet, it will be.
Well, but only in the winter when it's sort of frozen.
Yeah, when the
oh, is that how that works? Oh yeah, then I think compost should be every week and garbage every other week.
When it's 90 degrees, leaving your compost here for two, you'd have like things growing in there.
Oh yeah,
you'd have maggots. You'd have maggots.
I have maggots on the weekly. So, okay. So this is all this is good info. But so I guess you know, kind of the question is how do we? So I talked to Katie Brennan about this, and she wanted me to get kind of the current version of the contract from Jeff Loester. So Sarah, I was going to follow up with Jeff before this week ends, and because the trustees I talked to didn't know where the contract was either. But obviously, like the next step is we need to somehow influence that process and be involved.
Yeah, it's actually on our website. I can show you real quick under transparency, and we've got the contract here.
Really?
Mm-hmm. There's a lot on the website. It's just kind of buried in different spots. So we've got our, this is the 2015 contract, but I think we renewed it for another 5 years without.
So this is the current, the word on the street is that we have, you know, a preliminary version of we have their proposal, I suppose.
Did they say the word toter in there anywhere in the contract?
can you search that document for the word toter,
please? Eric, I'll double check, make sure that is current version, but well, I'll make sure it gets to you.
I just want to make sure, like, all the conversations we've had and all the information we've collected, it doesn't go to waste. We now have to apply that. So,
well, right. I mean, I think from the beginning, the two questions are: one, are you going to put it? Is the village going to put it out to bid? And two, whether it's put out to bid or not, what specific items are going to be negotiated? Right. So there are some ideas that have come out of this. But I don't know how that decision gets made, Sarah, about whether it goes out to bid.
So, obviously we'll keep the entire commission updated on this, but which commissioners would like to be directly involved with with the conversation with the village on this? You can hit me offline if that's easier. Okay. So hit me offline if you do want to get involved with this, but we'll at least kind of find out what the next steps are.
Well, so just going off of what Beth said, since the contract does expire at the end of April, I think what we're looking for, knowing that the commission wants to have some input on the waste hauling contract, I guess what I would ask is to have your formal recommendations in terms of what you're looking for in the contract. And, I know there's been discussions about going out to bid. You are certainly welcome to make that recommendation. It's ultimately the village board's decision to direct staff to go out to bid. So the only caution I would say there is that if we go out to bid, we don't know what that looks like. We don't know what those...
I'm not sure it's the Sustainability Commission's job to tell them to go out to bid. I think we need to put what we recommend our requirements are in the future contract, regardless of who it's with.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so that's a good point, Sarah. So we should put together our formal recommendations and get the entire commission to review that and approve it. All right, we'll put that together, and then in the November meeting, we can plan on discussing and iterating on a version of that, so we can get something to the trustees in this case. Probably go to Lisa to kind of do what she needs to do with it.
Yeah, and that's the other thing is, ultimately staff just needs to know, are we taking these asks back to Strom and Lake Shore, or are we going out to bid? So that's knowing that that was a conversation that you guys had had. I just want to make sure that we are giving ourselves enough time to actually do that, knowing that the
expires
in April.
Yeah, isn't it a true statement though that this white glove service that we have is really only deliverable from Royston?
Probably.
I mean, I think somebody said that at the last meeting or whatever, a couple ago. But
I think what we were told was that Royston has specific, you know, has customized their equipment and all that stuff to be able to accommodate that program. And it's a very rare program.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not that somebody else wouldn't be able to do it, but the cost and effort of them doing it would probably be, you know, difficult.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I think we got next steps on this, which is great. We've always had good conversation on this. So I don't think it's going to be hard to put together our list. Any other last comments involving trash? You know, some years every year there's like a topic du jour. This year it's trash. At least it's not bees. All right, so let's move to other business. Is there any other topics that anybody has questions or comments about?
I just wondered where we were on the community solar.
Sarah, did you ever hear back from, is it Mark?
Yeah, it's Mark Truitt with the Illinois Power Bureau. I had a note to call him tomorrow. I followed up with him a couple times and just haven't heard back. He does have the customer list from ComEd. So we did.
Oh, you're putting in a request and they got it?
Yep. Good. Yep, they were very, very quick responding with
it. Those other two documents, were those submitted?
So
I don't know, it was like step five and those were submitted.
Those were submitted.
So what step would you guys say we're on?
Yeah, I'd have to pull up the list. Sir, I don't know if you know offhand.
No, but I can pull it up real quick.
That's what I was doing also.
Just so we can keep pushing it forward. Cause it is October. So if we wanted to start this in the new year, we only have two more meetings.
All right. We are at, so Sarah did six, which is request the mailing address from utility. The Power Bureau, that basically goes to the Power Bureau and they're supposed to reimburse us actually for that expense. We need to upload. So like 6.5 is, you know, just submitting our logo. That's easy, obviously.
So what's the next?
So we're basically on seven, which is we got to register as a marketing designee, but that's for the IPA too. We kind of need, we need their cooperation, but the steps are pretty clearly outlined.
We need whose cooperation?
The Power Bureau.
Okay.
Well, that's the IPA actually. So yeah, we're like at seven-ish.
7 out of 10?
7 out of 11, I think.
So we're cranking.
7 out of 10, you were right.
60% done.
Yeah, and most of these things coming up are marketing.
Yeah. Okay.
Any other business questions, comments, concerns?
I just wanted to mention, Maggie said this at the beginning, but the Interfaith Green Network has their annual breakfast. Eric, are you going?
Yeah. Well, it's Zoom, isn't it?
Are you Zooming? And I am in Maggie, but if anybody else is interested in that, I could send them a link. It's interesting and helps tie us into the faith communities and, you know, sometimes find out, like, you know, even what's going on in the village. Because, you know, some of the places like Grace Lutheran and West Suburban are pretty active. So.
It's I like it every year. It's a super good vibe and lots of good information. And
like Susan said, what is this? When is it?
It's the Interfaith Green Network's annual breakfast. It is Thursday at, Susan, 8 a.m.?
8:30,
yeah. Susan's making, Susan will deliver Eggs Benedict to your door if you're going to attend via Zoom.
Yeah.
Which is a huge bonus. One day old donor. I will re-forward that as soon as this is over to everybody.
I actually have it for 8 a.m. I'm sorry.
I think it is 9:30.
Yep. Yeah, 8 to 9:30. And, you know, there's presentations and, you know, it's just good info. And like Susan said, it's a really, that interfaith community really is interested in this and they've done a lot of great work. And it's great that we kind of, you know, connect with them, and it's cool. And a lot of us are part of that, are both of those communities. So, you know, it's interesting.
And it's beneficial for them too, to say that, you know, they have a lot of commissioners there. So it goes both ways. And eventually we will have to reach out to the faith community. So it's good to lay that foundation.
Cool. Thanks for bringing that up, Susan. All right. Any other comments? Sorry, I muted myself. Charlotte, Ellie, any last parting things from you guys? Anything we could be doing to help you guys out with your efforts?
Nothing I can think of at the moment, but I'll let you know.
Perfect. Okay, cool. Great. We are on time-ish, which is awesome. The next meeting is, got to go to my notes. I'm on a single screen here, November 9th.
In person or Zoom?
So, like, you know, what I'll say is hopefully in person, and we will clearly communicate prior to that what it'll be. You know, Sarah's at Village Hall right now, so we can do it in person. So I you know, unless something happens between now and then, I think that would be really nice for us to.
Nice to meet some of you.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
I don't know. I like the mystery of this. It's very, it's actually not good. All right, does anybody want to make a motion to adjourn?
Motion to adjourn.
I'll second.
Okay, Carrie, second.
My battery just dies before you get to me. I say yes. A, whatever.
Well, I don't think there's a vote on this one. So we are officially adjourned. Thanks, everybody.
Thank you, Eric and Sarah.
We'll all talk soon. Have a great night.
Thank you.